Hello and good day. Welcome to the podcast of the project Cool Classic Cars. I am Neve, an AI-based voice from Voicemaker, and together with my colleague Thomas, we will give you a profound overview about the potentials of classic cars, sustainable tourism, and industrial heritage, and also about environmental aspects and what you can do against it. Lean back, relax, and enjoy this session. But first, there is a hint. This project has been funded with support from the European Commission. This podcast reflects the views only of the author, and the Commission cannot be held responsible for any use which may be made of the information contained therein. So, here we go.
In this first session, we will talk about environmental aspects. In the second module, you will hear about what classic cars are, about the difference between old-timers and young-timers, and how their overall energy balance is in comparison to new or electric cars. Modules 3 to 5 focus on sustainable tourism and industrial heritage, and in the last module we will give you an overview about market shares of old cars.
Let us start with an aspect which is closely related with cars. Let us talk about pollution. Pollution, especially environmental pollution, is the addition of any substance, whether solid, liquid, or gas, or any form of energy, such as heat or sound, to the environment at a rate faster than it can be dispersed, diluted, decomposed, recycled, or stored in some harmless form. Polluting substances can be solid, for instance, domestic or industrial waste accumulated on the ground. They can be liquid or gaseous, for instance, fumes generated by combustion engines.
The classification of pollutants makes a difference between quickly neutralized pollutants, where their harmfulness is normally attenuated by the natural resources of the receptor. Dangerous but not cumulative pollutants with a more or less relevant toxic action, but not cumulative in ecosystems. And finally, dangerous and cumulative pollutants. They are rare or non-existent in natural conditions and exert a marked toxic effect, and which can accumulate by transferring from one trophic level to the next.
The problem of global warming. Global warming is the unusually rapid increase in Earth's average surface temperature over the past century, primarily due to the greenhouse gases released by people burning fossil fuels. In Earth's history before the Industrial Revolution, the climate changed due to natural causes unrelated to human activity. These natural causes are still in play today, but their influence is too small or they occur too slowly to explain the rapid warming seen in recent decades.
The greenhouse effect. The greenhouse effect is a process that occurs when gases in Earth's atmosphere trap the sun's heat. This process makes Earth much warmer than it would be without an atmosphere. The greenhouse effect is one of the things that makes Earth a comfortable place to live. Earth's natural greenhouse effect makes life as we know it possible, and carbon dioxide plays a significant role in providing for the relatively high temperature on Earth.
And why is it so important? The International Panel on Climate Change have studied various scenarios in relation on greenhouse gas emission and the consequent global warming of the planet. It must be known that even the minimum deal reached in the international agreements involves some changes that will be strongly impacting on our environment.
Now we come to solid pollution through plastic and waste. The enormous amount of waste, from industrial process to user consumption, is one of the biggest risk to biodiversity of ecosystems and forehand to life on planet.
Plastic is becoming a major problem not only on ground, but even worse for the waters of planet. The life cycle of plastics is hundreds of years, and the fragmentation of plastics generates a microparticulate that is found everywhere, becoming englobate in the food chain of different species, men included.
And then there is the danger of soil contamination. The increase of toxic compounds, especially heavy metals and pesticides, in soils affects human health and damages the soil ecosystem. The three major pathways for diffuse soil contamination are atmospheric deposition, agriculture, and flood events. Soil contamination can reduce food security by decreasing crop yields and rendering crops unsafe for consumption.
Another threat is soil acidification. This is a process of lowering of the soil pH values caused by the buildup of hydrogen and aluminium ions in the soil, and the leaching of base cations such as calcium, magnesium, potassium plus, and sodium. Major causes of soil acidification can be long-term rainfalls, where our draining of potentially acid sulfate soils, acid deposition, excessive application of ammonium-based fertilizers, deforestation, and land use practices that remove all harvested materials.
Soil losses lead to loss of biodiversity. Did you know that approximately one quarter of our planet's biodiversity exists in the soils? Hence, the decline in the diversity of organisms living in the soil affects multiple ecosystem functions, including plant diversity, decomposition, nutrient retention and cycling, plant and animal health, soil carbon sequestration, and greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, preserving soil biodiversity is important for enhancing the soil health.
The first steps against this development was the so-called Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement, also often referred to as the Paris Climate Accords, is an international treaty on climate change. Adopted in 2015, the agreement covers climate change mitigation, adaptation, and finance. The Paris Agreement was negotiated by 196 parties at the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference near Paris, France. As of February 2023, 195 members of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change are parties to the agreement. Of the four UNFCCC member states which have not ratified the agreement, the only major emitter is Iran. The United States withdrew from the agreement in 2020, but rejoined in 2021.
The goals are: A. Holding the increase in the global average temperature to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, and to pursue efforts to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, recognizing that this would significantly reduce the risks and impacts of climate change. B. Increasing the ability to adapt to the adverse impacts of climate change and foster climate resilience and low greenhouse gas emissions development, in a manner that does not threaten food production. And C. Making finance flows consistent with a pathway towards low greenhouse gas emissions and climate-resilient development.
The European Union plans the Green Deal. Based on a comprehensive impact assessment, the Commission has proposed to increase the EU's ambition on reducing greenhouse gases and set this more ambitious path for the next 10 years. The assessment shows how all sectors of the economy and society can contribute, and sets out the policy actions required to achieve this goal. The objectives are to set a more ambitious and cost-effective path to achieving climate neutrality by 2050, to stimulate the creation of green jobs, and continue the EU's track record of cutting greenhouse gas emissions whilst growing its economy, and to encourage international partners to increase their ambition to limit the rise in global temperature to 1.5 degrees in order to avoid the most severe consequences of climate change.
Another important aspect concerns sustainability. What does this word mean? Sustainable development means designing an economic and social system which ensures over time the increase in real incomes and therefore, in addition to the economic development, including an improvement in the quality of life, respectful of current and future users, ecological and environmental aspects.
The principles for strategy of environmental sustainability are: 1. Biodiversity conservation. This is the preservation of biodiversity and energy resources. 2. Social needs. This includes the availability of basic needs, products and services for present and future generations. Support local employment, fair trade and environmental attributes of raw material. 3. Regenerative capacity. It means to protect the depletion of natural resources and keep the harvest rate of renewable resources within the capacity of regeneration. 4. Reuse and recycle. It means to support the reuse and recycling practices to reduce waste, emissions, and cost and improve product efficiency.
The life cycle assessment. Life cycle inventory. This means collection and analysis of environmental impact data, e.g. emissions to air and water, waste generation and resource consumption, associated with the product, from the raw material extraction stage, passing through production and use, up to final disposal, considering recycling, reuse, and energy recovery. Life cycle impact assessment. This is the estimation of indicators of environmental pressures, e.g. climate change, summer smog, resource depletion, acidification, human health effects, etc., associated with life cycle environmental impacts product life.
Until recently, our economy was a linear economy. Linear economy, also known as take-make-dispose model, is the process of collection of raw material for transformation of them into finished goods and distribution to the customer until they are accumulated as waste. The linear economic model relies on two fundamental principles: easily accessible resources and unlimited earth regenerative capacity. No wonder that in this model, the industrial and household waste is very high.
It's time to change to circular economy. The circular economy is a model of production and consumption, which involves sharing, leasing, reusing, repairing, refurbishing, and recycling existing materials and products as long as possible. In this way, the life cycle of products is extended. When a product reaches the end of its life, its materials are kept within the economy wherever possible. These can be productively used again and again, thereby creating further value. In this model, waste is reduced to a minimum.
Now we come to sustainable energy. There are four main types of sustainable energy. 1. Solar energy. A cheap and easy way of providing electricity, solar power is one of the largest forms of sustainable energy available. By using photovoltaic panels to convert sunlight into energy, solar power makes the most of the sun's daily cycle to harvest energy efficiently. 2. Hydropower. Hydropower is one of the oldest forms of sustainable energy in use, dating back several thousand years, and it has grown to encompass several forms of water-based power generation.
3. Wind power. Another form of sustainable energy that has been used for millennia, windmills have evolved from grinding grain and pumping water to become wind turbines capable of harnessing large amounts of energy. The large blades that make up the turbine are driven by the wind and power the generator within it to produce energy. 4. Bioenergy. Being a mix of both traditional and modern energy techniques, bioenergy is derived from a vast array of biological materials, such as food waste or wood pellets, and comes in many shapes and forms. Through either combustion of biological materials to provide energy, or liquid biofuels to power vehicles, bioenergy has been a cornerstone of sustainable development.
The ecological footprint measures the consumption of natural resources, that is, the area of productive ecosystems, both aquatic and terrestrial, which are necessary for the production of goods and services used by a person or anything that is consumed to make a product, transport it, sell it, and dispose of its waste. The main categories are food, housing, transport, consumer goods and services.
In this context, let us explain the terms virtual water and water footprint. Virtual water represents not only the real water content of a product, but also the volume of water needed to make that product available for consumption. From the procurement of raw materials to their transformation, packing, and transport. The concept of water footprint was introduced in 2002. In order to have an economic indicator of water use based on final consumption that could provide useful information in addition to the traditional indicator based on the productive sector.
Reuse and recycling. Every year, the EU exports about 150,000 tons of plastic waste per month. Reuse and recycling are key to tackling Europe's waste problem and to foster a more circular economy. Improved circular and climate-friendly business models and policies to boost reuse and recycling, plus improved consumer awareness will help the European Union tackle the growing problem posed by plastic, battery, electronic, and textile waste.
Thank you for listening. In the next module, you will find a lot of information about classic and vintage vehicles. We are looking forward to meet you there.